Amen. So talking about life like being like a bunch of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get. I'm so thankful that in the difficult times, like with what's going on with Roger and Leola right now, that we actually have the body of Christ, the church, to help us to carry one another. And I can go through so many stories of how each of us over the years have experienced some difficult times. Some of us are going through some stuff right now. And you're able to call me or call a brother and sister in the Lord in the church and say, hey, would you pray for me? Would you just kind of be there and let's bring some encouragement, you know, to the situation as we're speaking into one another's lives. Isn't that good to know that God's given us the church, the body of Christ, to be there for one another during those times in our life? I'm so thankful for the fellowship that we have together in the church. And you know what the church kind of reminds me of? It reminds me of lettuce. Lettuce. Actually, it's more like let us. But if you say it real fast, it's lettuce. And that's the name of my message this morning, lettuce. I love lettuce, by the way. I'm not sure if you're a salad person, but I'm a salad person. And you know, there's just not one kind of lettuce. Let me just kind of give you a little side thing here, just because you never know, you know, what kind of information you're going to get from this pulpit. So here's some information on lettuce, you guys. There's iceberg lettuce, which is fairly common. Romaine is getting more popular. There's arugula, red leaf, green leaf, bib, butter, endive, and so much more. Isn't that awesome that there's more than one kind of lettuce? Even kale and spinach make it in there, kind of through the back door, but it makes it on the list of lettuce. Now, mixing those together along with some yummy veggies and maybe some favorite salad dressing, you might say low fat. I'll just say, give me whatever you got. It makes for a really delicious and healthy meal. And in a lot of ways, this describes the church. If we were all just a bunch of iceberg lettuce, it'd be kind of a, run-of-the-mill, boring church, wouldn't it? It's just like an iceberg. But we're all different. Some of us are bib, endive, you know. Some of us are iceberg. If we were all iceberg lettuce, it'd be boring, but we're a mixture, and this mixture is what makes us more well-rounded and more delicious, so to speak. So where in Hebrews does all of this lettuce appear? Well, I'm going to read to you a passage out of Hebrews, and I want you to do something with me. I want you to count how many times I say let us. Okay, here it comes. So don't count it out loud. Just count it in your head, and let's see if we all come up with the same one. Starting in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 22, here we go. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So how many did you get? Five. Can't get anything by you guys. Five types of lettuce that are found in that passage of Scripture. And all five of those are best lived out in our life together groups. Now today, I meant to bring this up. Today is our life together on ramp Sunday. And I have this sheet right here. It looks a lot like your bulletin, but it's not. It's the same size. And I hope you got one. If you didn't get one of these, I want you to lift up your hand right now. And if they're all gone, there's none left. Okay. Did everybody get one of these? If you didn't, you didn't. Well, we need to hand them out now. Hand them out now while I'm talking. Everybody needs to get one of these. And while you're handing those out, you probably don't need to raise your hand because nobody got one. So that's good. Yeah. Unless you just want to raise your hand and say, yeah, hey. All right. So today is our On-Ramp Sunday for our Life Together groups. On-Ramp Sunday means that today is going to be an opportunity for us to find out the Life Together groups that we have and what we can do to get plugged into those groups. As you're getting that list of your current Life Together group, of our current Life Together groups, you'll see on this sheet a list. And I'll let you refer to that, and I will refer to that towards the end of our service and give you some more detail on what the different groups that we have. Now, the Sunday morning service that we have here, what we are doing on Sunday morning right now is important. It's vital, and it's something that we need to do to get together on a regular basis to come worship the Lord together like we're doing. But the small groups that we have, the life together groups can be much more impactful as we're getting a little more intimate, a little more closely connected with one another. So I'd like to consider our Sunday morning gathering. You probably heard this analogy before, but the Sunday morning services are, if you're comparing it to a house, it's like the foyer of a house. And our life together groups help us to take our relationship with Jesus from that foyer into the other rooms, and to explore the other rooms that he has for us, so that we can grow more deeply in Christ, and so that we can ultimately make Christ more well known and better known out beyond the four walls of our church. Now, if you look at Acts chapter 2, you can read that chapter when the church was birthed, that the believers gathered together, it says corporately, under the apostles' teachings, but they also met from house to house in smaller groups to worship together and to grow together and to encourage one another and to share what they had with others, whatever that would be. And no one lacked, all were strengthened, and their lives were enriched with God's presence and their fellow believers' faith, and much joy was among them, the Bible says in Acts 2. And the results of all that took place in Acts chapter 2 produced a deeply maturing and highly attractive, fast-growing church. Now, I know it can get pretty lonely and frustrating out there throughout the days that we live. It's pretty tough life. I mean, even, Don, you touched on it a little bit of how things are getting more corrupt out there. It's just not a pleasant place sometimes in our workplaces and maybe at our schools and even in our home life. I don't really know what's going on in your life completely, but I know that it can't be all peaches and cream. But I know that the church is a gift to us, that God has given us one another. And the church, by the way, is not a building. A church is a people. A church is all of us, the body of Christ. And he's given us one another as a gift, so that we can strengthen one another and so that we can encourage one another in the faith. Our life together groups are designed to be that encouragement as we walk with Jesus. So let us look at the five types of let us that will help us to be more like the Acts chapter 2 church. And let us look at how each of these are designed to be an encouragement to each one of us. Here's the first one if you're taking notes, and we'll have it on the screen. Found in Hebrews chapter 10:22, it says, let us draw near to God together. Now, every time you hear the word let us, it's not saying let you, it's saying let us. So that implies a togetherness. That implies a more than one person. Let us. So that's why I put let us draw near to God together, so that we can understand, it's almost redundant, let us together draw near to God. Hebrews 10:22 says it this way. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Now, back in the Old Testament days, they had to go through an awful lot of elaborate and detailed rituals to meet up with God. If you read the Old Testament, it was pretty involved and extensive. And even then, it was only at set times in the year. And even then, only priests could do it. And even then, that didn't always go well. The fact is, no sin can be in God's holy presence. Just like water and oil will never mix, sin and holiness will never, ever mix. But this verse reminds the reader in Hebrews of the assurance that we have as we've placed our faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross of Calvary. We just celebrated it in communion just a few moments ago. Our sins have been washed away by the perfect, cleansing blood of Jesus, who's our spotless lamb. Aren't you thankful this morning that you've been saved? Aren't you thankful that Jesus did the work for us so that we wouldn't have to go through that elaborate process like what they did in the Old Testament? You see, because of what Jesus did, we can come confidently. We can come even boldly before God's throne of grace. And he accepts us. God receives us. God no longer sees the sin. That sin has been covered by the blood of Jesus. It's been washed away. Your sin is gone. Isn't that good to know? Jesus' finished work gives us ready and regular access to God's throne without having to jump through a lot of hoops or to rely on priests or our good works or anything else. We get to know God personally. It's a personal relationship with him. God's not some vague, unapproachable entity. He's up close and personal. God is right there with us every moment of every day. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. Earlier in the letter in Hebrews, it says in chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, it says, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he did not sin. Let's then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I am so thankful, church, that we have this opportunity, this privilege to not just do this on Sunday mornings, to not just worship him as we gather together corporately, but did you know that you can do what you just did here? Any time of the day or night, throughout any day of the week, 24/7. And aren't you thankful that God's throne is never closed for remodeling? Aren't you thankful that he's never on a lunch break? He's not hanging up a sign saying, be back at 1 o'clock. He never takes a vacation. Ah, oh, you missed me. I'm gone for the week. You're going to have to. No, none of that. 24/7. We can jump on our Abba Father, our Daddy God's lap. That's what Abba Father means. It means Daddy God. Any time of the day or night, without fear, and let him love on us and pour out his grace and mercy in our time of need. Romans 8, 14 and 15 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship and daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Daddy God. I want you to just imagine for just a moment this picture. You're in this giant throne of the royalty of a king. There's a king sitting high up on his throne. And there's a lot of people that are gathered together on the throne, around the throne, I should say. And they've got due respect and proper distance and proper etiquette to make sure that they act the right way and say the right things and approach the king in the correct way in reverence and in the authority that he deserves. And then I want you to imagine as you're in that room there, as the king is sitting on the throne with all the pomp and the circumstance and everybody doing what they can to just really be careful, that this little boy comes bursting through the door from the back and just works through the crowd and jumps up and runs up to the throne and jumps on the king's lap. The difference between all the rest of those people that were from a distance and trying to make sure not to do anything to disrespect the king and that little boy is that little boy is the king's son. And we are all king's sons and daughters. And we all can run to that Daddy God throne and just jump on his lap and say, hey, Daddy, how you doing today? Let's go play. Let's go do something. Let me just tell you how my day is going. I'd like to have this. I'm going through that. And you don't have to go through all of the different hurdles and all the different pomp and circumstance. You can run directly to your Daddy God at any time of the day or night and jump on his lap and not worry a thing about him turning you away. Aren't you thankful that you're a king's kid? Aren't you thankful that you can draw near to God with confidence? And he's got his arms wide open. I just picture the king just saying, hey, here comes my boy. Here comes my girl. Without any hesitation. And another aspect of this let us that's so strengthened is that we can do all of this together. Isn't it nice to know that we can have brothers and sisters in Jesus who we can share life together with? Aren't you glad for that? I've had a lot of people say to me over the years that they don't think that God loves them. They don't think God cares for them. They don't think that God can forgive them of all the bad stuff that they've done in their lives. And they think that they have to try to avoid him, or they think that they can't run into his arms anymore. They think that he'd just turn them away. And I've been able to encourage them that God does love them, that God does care for them, that God can and will forgive them no matter what they've done. And not only have I done that for others, but others have done that for me through the years. And we've been an encouragement to one another. That's what the body of Christ is all about. And we can all share the good news of the great and loving Daddy God. A lot of times we say, we just need to go out and tell people about Jesus. And that's true. We do. Absolutely, we do. That's the Great Commission. But we also need to encourage one another with that. Right here, Because we need that encouragement, don't we, every once in a while? Or maybe more than every once in a while? Did you say, wait a minute. Okay, I messed up. I'm not sure God loves me. I'm not sure God can forgive me. You know what? I'll just say from the pulpit. Yes, he can. He loves you. Oh, he loves you with an everlasting love. And he's made provision for whatever you've done, and he will forgive you. And you can just run right to him, no matter what you've done, and he'll accept you. I'm so thankful for that. We all need to be reminded of that and be encouraged to draw near to God, to run into his loving arms no matter what. It's easy to stray. I get it. It's easy to drift. It's easy to draw near to whatever the world may offer. That happens all the time, I'm sure, in all of our lives. And here's what we do with one another. If you see that happening with your brother and sister in the Lord, if you see them drifting, if you see them drawing near to something that's not healthy, as they're doing that, as they're moving that direction, then be the type of lettuce that points people back to Christ and say, don't do that. This is what's going to happen. This is going to mess you up. And our life together groups are designed in part to give us the opportunity to do just that. Let us draw near to God together. Which leads us to our next lettuce, our next type of lettuce. Let us grow in our faith together. There's a difference between those two. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. The first talks about really just implies having a making a decision for Christ. I accept him in my heart as my Savior. The second one really speaks to more of a journey. I'm going to allow him to be my Lord. We're going to do a relationship, have a relationship with Jesus. The initial decision to accept the free gift of salvation offered through Jesus, it births this relationship with the God of the universe. And this relationship, church, this relationship must mature. If you accept Jesus 10 years ago and you're still that little baby, you're not doing well. That's not what God's plan is for your life. We've got to grow up in him. We've got to mature. You see, the more that you hang around someone in life, the more you're going to get to know them, and the more you're going to become more like them. True? Good or bad? Hanging out with Jesus and those who love Jesus will make you more like Jesus. And we all need to be more like Jesus, amen? So the healthy life together group focuses on how we can talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, think like Jesus, be Jesus, to be his hands and feet, to be an example, a representative, an ambassador for him into our, not just inside the church, but in our community as well. Now, some of these life together groups that we have are more in depth. They're drilling deeply into God's word. Others are centered more on fellowship and conversation and usually around food or other such activities. But they're all designed around the commonality that we have in our relationship with Jesus. The goal in these groups is to walk away from them each time that you meet saying, I want to grow more to be like Jesus. I want to grow more deeply and more abiding in my relationship with Jesus. And as we look at this scripture in Hebrews, to do this unswervingly, because it says we need to hold unswervingly to this. Unswervingly means that if we see, again, one of our group members swerving off towards a ditch, that we warn them, doing all that we can to make sure we all stay on the straight and narrow. Let me read to you out of Ephesians. Paul explained it this way. Ephesians 4:11 says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and the fullness of Christ. That's the maturity that we're talking about, growing up in him. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. And it talks about maturing in Christ. We're not just going to go off this way or go off that way, but we know God's word and we know what Jesus said about these particular things in our life, and that we're not swayed or convinced or tricked, deceived into something that is not scriptural, that we won't make those decisions that are not of Christ. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's saying here, as we press in, we will become more like Jesus. We will mature into being more like him and less like us. And we, as the different parts of the body of Christ, have the opportunity to encourage one another to grow in Jesus. I would hope that a common declaration or a common question that we would have with one another is, how's your walk with Christ doing? How are you doing in your walk with the Lord this week? You know, are you walking more like him? Are you talking more like him? Are you being more like Jesus? Our life together groups are designed with that in mind. If you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, which I hope you do, a life together group would be an amazing place to experience that. So let us draw near to God together. Let us grow in our faith together. The third type of let us is this. It's found in Hebrews 10:24. It says, let us spur one another on. Let us spur one another on. It says in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I don't know if you've ever seen a cowboy that kicks the side of a horse as they're going to giddy up. You know, they kick him on the side. Back in the old day, and I guess they still have it, they have these little round metal things that have little sharp pieces to them on the ends of their boots. They're called spurs. And they don't just do kick the horse. I mean, they're doing some ouch to the horse a little bit, making the horse kind of get the attention of the horse, and that horse runs faster. That horse begins to obey a little bit more quickly as the cowboy spurs, the rider spurs the horse on. And I describe this to you to help you to visualize what this verse is telling us to do. It doesn't say suggest. You need to suggest to one another. It doesn't say demand. You must do this. It doesn't say that. There's a balance there between those two. It says in essence, because spur means this. It means to be vigorous. That's what spur means. Be vigorous. Be vigorous with your encouragement. That's what this is talking about. Be vigorous. Be intentional. How many knows that we need a good kick every once in a while? And if you're the kicker, if you're the kickee, ouch, and say thank you. But also if you're the kicker, because a lot, God uses us to be the kicker. Don't just do it willy-nilly. Don't be random about it. Consider how you're going to kick, how you're going to spur, how you're going to be vigorous in your encouragement. Be specific. As they say, let the punishment fit the crime. In other words, make sure that what you're spurring in someone resonates in them, that it makes sense, and it speaks to the particular issue that they're needing to be dealt with. The Holy Spirit can help you with that. Absolutely can help you with that. Consider doesn't mean, by the way, that you have a choice as to whether, I wonder if I should do this or not. I'm going to consider whether I should or shouldn't. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean whether you should or not. It simply means to be prayerful and let the Holy Spirit direct you as to what to say or do and when to say or do it. We need to spur one another on in that way. And the goal of this spurring is always, as it says in this verse, toward love and good deeds. We're going to spur one another on toward love. And in other words, let it direct them Christward, to be Christ-like, toward love and good deeds. So that old bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? WWJD. What would Jesus do? How would he love? What good deed would he do? Spur one another on in that direction. Do it vigorously, but don't do it hatefully. Do it vigorously, but don't be harsh about it. Do it vigorously, but don't do it in a condescending way. Like, I'm better than you, and let me tell you what to do. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in what? In love. Oh, that's a big difference. I mean, I can speak the truth and just blast you, or I can speak the truth in love. What that really is saying is this. I love you so much, and I love you enough to speak truth into your life. If I didn't care about you, I would just let you do whatever and just go off the cliff. Fine, knock yourself out. But I love you enough in Christ, and I'm concerned about you enough to speak into your life. And I want to spur you on toward love and good deeds. And as we speak the truth in love, it says we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. That's maturing again in Christ. Our life together groups are a great place to build trust this way. Man, as you get together, you know, in the groups that we have, and you're part of some of these groups, many of you are part of these groups, don't you, it's true that you get to know people, right? The trust level begins to grow in each life. As we do life together, we can be more open to receiving words that spur us on. If I don't really know you, I'm not sure how much you know, what you're saying to me is out of love, and I'm not sure I want to receive it. But man, if I know you got my back and I got yours, and you can speak into my life, Oh, I appreciate you because I know you love me and you got my back. So I'm going to receive that a little bit more quickly and wholeheartedly. Now, those words may sting. It's not going to always be happy words. You know, when you're spurring one another on, sometimes you got to say, man, you don't, let's talk about this. This is not a good direction you're going. That's not a good thing that's happening in your life, that you're, those decisions that you're making. It's not healthy. It's not right. And being called out on the carpet, being spurred like that, that hurts. Get your attention. It needs to. But knowing coming from a heart of love and concern from our walk with Jesus makes all the difference in the world. I don't know. I know I need that. Do you need that? Or am I the only one? Do you need that kick? I know I need that kick. How about you? Anybody else? 2-3 of you? Can you trust others to be vulnerable with them? That's a big step right there. To be vulnerable with one another, hard. And there's a trust factor that's there. It's a big step, but it's a necessary one if we're going to grow up to maturity in Jesus, because God has given us one another to grow up in Him, to spur one another on. That's a big lettuce. Right? That's an important piece of lettuce right there. So let us draw near to God together. Let us grow up in our faith together. And let us spur one another on to love and good deeds. Here's the fourth type of lettuce. It's let us meet together. Hey, we're doing that today. We're doing that right now. Hebrews 10:25, the first part says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. The Bible describes in the last days, just before Jesus returns, that there's going to be a great falling away. Don, you touched on this just a little bit ago about how we're coming up on the last, but we're here. We're in the last days. We're just in the last few moments. Jesus said in Matthew 24:10, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. 2 Thessalonians 2 describes how a great deception will cover the earth as all the world will release themselves from the moorings of biblical truth and follow all sorts of lies. We're seeing that happen, are we not, in the world today? Politicians are saying, hey, the government has the power over you, not God's ability to put it in you, right? By the way, God has given us the freedom to worship, not the government, right? Ultimately, God is in charge of everything, not the government, right? So I just say that from the pulpit here today. No matter what anybody says, it's God who has blessed us. It's God who's given us these inalienable rights. It says this in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. There are going to be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Now, I'm going to go more into this next Sunday. For those of you who are here today visiting, every so often I like to give an end times update. Next Sunday's the Sunday. We're going to go and see what's going on in the world today and how does it line up? How does it line up with the prophecy in God's word? You know, roughly about 25% of the Bible is prophecy. Did you know that? One out of every four words is prophetic in nature. And yet, from many pulpits, prophecy is not taught and preached. Now, this is not one of those pulpits, by the way. About half of the prophecies have been fulfilled. We got another half to go. So we're well on our way. And once the trumpet sounds and the rapture takes place and Jesus comes back and gets his bride, there's going to be a lot of things start falling into place that will fulfill all the rest of those. And I believe we're just moments away from that happening. So rather than go into all of that today, we'll go into some of that, a lot of that next Sunday. I'd like you to understand today about this. The church is a gift from God for us to grow in Christ together, to worship Him together, and to be a platform to tell the world about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a gift that God's given us, and that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together is so important. You see, the last words that Jesus said before He ascended to heaven in Mark 16:15 was this: go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. Preach it to all creation. So as we combine our resources together, of our time, our talent, our treasure, We can make a powerful difference in the kingdom of God. And we're doing that. And thank you for that. As we pull our resources, we're supporting over 40 missionaries that are all over the world right now, preaching the gospel in different ways here in the United States and all the way around the world. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your continued faithfulness in your giving every month. That missions pledge that you, That missions pledge that you gave back in February when we had our missions banquet. Keep doing that because it's making a difference. We have a missions board right out here. You can read all the different reports. We keep it updated as you're walking out that way. Make your way and just take some time and read all the different things that God is doing. The gospel is being preached. There's revival taking place across this world. The gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ is being preached to the four corners of the world. And the Bible says, when that happens, then I'm going to return. It's happening. Jesus is getting ready to come back. Let's keep doing our part to make a difference. Acts chapter 2, it says the church pooled their resources together in every way, not just financially, but in every way they pooled their resources and they made sure that the needs of the people were met. No one went without in any way, shape, or form. And that ripple effect went out from the church to the community and to the world. And by the way, that ripple effect that started in Acts chapter 2 is still rippling, and it's rippling right through this congregation today. It's never ceased, and it won't until the Lord returns. The church was added to daily those who were being saved. And if you're here visiting today, welcome home. Don't look anymore. You found the right place. See, because here's the fact. If Satan can isolate you, if Satan can get you to stop coming to church or to make it not a priority, to get you to cut off your relationships and communication from other believers, if he can lure you away to other activities or just to get you to stay at home and relax and hope the kinfolk come dropping in, as that old song says that some of you probably don't know, but I do. Satan has a pretty decent chance of drying you up and withering your soul. Satan knows that we need community. I know some of you here today, you're coming to church here on Sundays, and I just want to just commend you because many of us have made the decision for Jesus. Some of us haven't. Keep coming. That's good. You're just exposing yourself to the presence of God, to God's word, and I'm trusting one day you'll make that decision for Jesus. But listen, no judgment here. I mean, we're all sinners saved by grace, but thank you for continuing to come. Keep it going. But I'm so thankful that as we prioritize community, and by the way, community always has the potential to be destructive if we're not careful. But if we do community correctly, if we do it biblically, if we do it in a Christ-like way, if done as God has designed it, it will be strengthening to us. Because there's safety in numbers. There's help in the herd. There's protection in the pack. You see, when you hurt, I hurt. 1 Corinthians 12, 26-27 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each of one of you is a part of that body. What this is saying is this, church, we need each other. We need each other. So if this is you, stop being tough. Stop being tough. Stop being an island. Stop thinking that you don't need others. My hand needs my foot. My heart needs my lungs. I need you, and you need me, just like Barney used to sing. We're one great big happy family. We need each other, church. And our life together groups are a great place to meet up outside of this Sunday morning gathering where we can grow more intimately and deeply with one another in our journey of faith. So let us draw near to God together. Let us grow in our faith together. Let us spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us meet together, and especially as you see that day approaching. Here's the fifth one, our last one. Let us encourage one another. The last part of Hebrews 10:25 says, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, the day. As I just said, next week we're going to give you an end times update, and you may hear me say this quite often, but I'll say it again today. I believe the rapture could take place at any moment. I believe the rapture could take place today. There's nothing else that needs to happen in this world prophetically before that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ will be risen first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. Church, the signs are all around us. Please don't be blind to them. It's not business as usual out there. They're happening with more frequency. They're happening with more intensity than ever before. Jesus could come back before this service ends. The instruction given to us in this verse, it says, all the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that referring to? If you notice, the word day is capitalized. So it's not just any old day. It doesn't just say, gather together and just any old day will happen. No, it's the day, the capital. What day is that talking about? It's talking about the day that the trumpet's going to sound. It's talking about the day where God says, son, go get your children, go get your bride. Go get your bride. It's going to be the day where the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise. Those who are alive and remain will be caught up in the rapture of the church. It's going to happen, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. That's the day that we're talking about. The day of the Lord's return, where he catches us up. Who knows? We may not be in church next week. How many would be all right with that? And if the Lord hadn't come back, you need to be in church. But if the Lord comes back, maybe you still need to be in church if you're still here. In fact, I think the day after the rapture is going to be the biggest one single day attendance of church all around the world as people realize what just happened. But I'll say that for next week. This may be the last Sunday that we gather together. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? Or does it scare you? You sitting here going, oh, wait a minute. I don't know about that, Pastor. I'm not sure I want that to be the fact. I think this last type of lettuce has an urgency to it. It has an urgency we need to take to heart. Because I want to ask you, what if this was? I mean, what if we knew for a fact that this was the last Sunday that we would get together, at least on this earth, in church? What if it was? And what if I, as I'm saying that you suddenly are filled with fear? I ask you today, if Jesus were to return before next Sunday, is your heart right with him? I know, Don, you touched on this in communion, and I want to drill down in this one a little bit more deeply. I ask you today, are you mortified that you'd be left behind? Is there any question at all? Is there any question at all in your heart? Believe me, you don't want to be left behind. You do not want to experience all that's going to take place here after the rapture. I don't know, but maybe we just take a few moments here. I'm not ending the message. I'm not ending the service. But I do want to take a few moments here and make sure that everyone is ready, because that trumpet could sound at any moment. I don't know, maybe today's your day. Maybe today's your day. I just want everyone to bow your heads, and we're going to pray just a few moments here. I'm going to continue on and conclude our message, but I want to take a moment here and just make sure that everybody's heart is ready. Heart is right. Heart is cleansed. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that he rose again, that he died for your sins, and you confess with your mouth that he is risen, he is God's Son, he is your Savior, then you will be saved. So there's two different things there. First, you got to believe it. He's not just a way of salvation. He is the way of salvation. You know, you can live in America and think you could do some right things and, you know, do a few, weigh out some good deeds, some bad deeds, and the good deeds weigh out the bad deeds. And so you kind of get in based off of that. Or you come to church every so often, so there's, you know, that's got to help in some way, or do a lot of good works, or you're related, your mom or dad are a Christian, you know, you pray over your food. I don't know. You can do a lot of things to kind of justify, I'm not as bad as that person there. You know, we kind of compare ourselves to other people. None of that matters. None of that is accurate. None of that, you don't need to embrace any of that. Those are all lies. Those are all tricks of the enemy, deception. Satan's trying to make you think you're good enough. Church, none of us in here will ever be good enough. You can be the best person, check off all the boxes. You will never be good enough. I will never be good enough. Jesus is good enough. And so we place our faith in Christ, his goodness, his holiness, his purity, his finished work. And we place our faith in him. We allow his blood to cover us. And we hide under the shelter of his wings, and he then becomes our, he vouches for us. He becomes our, he stands in front of the court of heaven, and he says, I vouch for this God, and God says, that's good for me. So man, that's what faith in Christ is all about. is to say it's not based on my works or anything else because I can never be good enough, but it's based on Jesus being good enough. And that's what faith is all about. And then we walk in relationship with him. We confess it with our mouth and say, Lord, I can't do this. I won't do this. I'm a failure at trying to be good enough. I thank you, Lord, that you are good enough. Do you want to believe that and accept Jesus on those terms? Then that's where you start a relationship. You're going to mess up. You're still going to stumble. But man, today is an important day to say, I can never be good enough. Jesus, I need you to be good enough through me. Yeah, that's what salvation really is, kind of in its simplest terms. And that's doable for all of us because all we have to do is say, Jesus, I trust in you, and then he'll help you. So let's just all pray this prayer together. If you need to ask Jesus in your heart, if that makes sense to you, if that resonates in your spirit and your heart, that's the Holy Spirit drawing you, by the way. The Holy Spirit saying, hey, that's right. That's correct. That's the Spirit of God right now saying, that's correct. Make this decision for Jesus. And boy, today's the first day of the rest of your life for all of eternity if you make that decision. So would you all pray this prayer out loud with me? The Bible, Jesus knows who's sincere in this. If you believe in your heart, truly believe, let this prayer be from your heart. Don't just repeat these words, but mean it. Say these words. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'll never be good enough. I ask you to be good enough through me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Come live in my heart and be the Lord of my life. I confess that you are God's son. You are my savior. You are my Lord. Now, Holy Spirit, I invite you to fill me and to help me to walk daily in relationship with Jesus Christ. I thank you for this, that I am now a child of God. Thank you, Daddy God. Amen. Amen. Now, if the trumpet sounds right now, if everybody was sincere in their hearts and meant it, this room would be vacated of all human existence. These piles of clothes. But we're going to get immediately a robe, so you don't have to worry about all of that stuff as we're going. So let's go, we're not going to be doing this, right? Immediately, it's going to happen. So God help us. Being a Christian is fun. So we have this urgency that we just felt about, and I just trust, Lord, just let the dread go away now, and let us all rest in that peace that we made that decision. And here's the decision. It's not just like, okay, I made the decision, I keep doing what I'm doing. Now stop living the way that you lived. When you get saved, you're repenting. That means I was going that way, I'm turning around, I'm going that way. I was doing these things, I'm not going to do those things anymore. I'm going to do these things based on what God's word says. I'm going to live a life of holiness and righteousness and purity. And it's a process of sanctification as we go through that, right? And you're going to mess up, like I said. And that's where the Holy Spirit says, it's okay. Do it this way next time. And that's why we have the body of Christ. That's why we have the Sunday morning services and our life together groups. Because the urgency of that, I got to get saved, kind of needs us to move into this sense of now saying, I want to, not sure, just to make sure that my heart is right. But today, what have you been, and Don, again, you touched on this. Did you know what I was preaching this morning? I think you did. I know the Holy Spirit did. But what have you been putting off doing for Jesus that you need to stop putting off? You said those exact words. The Holy Spirit is here to tell you. I mean, if the Holy Spirit spoke through you and the Holy Spirit spoke through me and we didn't know what we were saying, the Holy Spirit is definitely wanting to emphasize this. What have you been putting off that you need to stop putting off and do it today? What unfinished business do you have? What have you been avoiding? Don't delay it anymore because we're not guaranteed another day, church. Let me encourage you to step into, as you see that day approaching, step into that that God has been stirring in your heart maybe for months, maybe years, and you've just been putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. I'll tell you this, joining a Life Together group will give you an opportunity to not only grow in Jesus, but it'll also give you an opportunity to go out into your community in the name of Jesus and fulfill what you've been avoiding up to this point. And that's not just corporately in our outreach ministries that we have, but it's also going into your schools, your workplaces, your social media friends, all the different places that you have connections, and be Jesus. to those people. Let us draw near to God together. Let us grow in our faith together. Let us spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us continue to meet together, and let us encourage one another, especially as you see the day of Christ approaching. Now let us look at our list. Because I want to show you some things up here. Hold this list in your hand. Get a pen out, if you would, or a pencil, whatever you got to do. Poke a hole in your finger and write it with blood. I don't care. But make sure that you put some mark on here as we're going through it. And I'm going to put up the first one. Here's, now this is going to be interesting, important, so we're not done yet, okay? Now, typically on these Sundays, we have booths set up, don't we? And people go and, you know, but a lot of times we just walk out, some of us. So we thought this year, we're going to keep the captive audience here. We got the doors locked, so you can't leave, so we're good there. So, and then we're just going to go over these very quickly and say, wait a minute, okay, this is really interesting. I might want to do something more like this. So as we're going through this list, if that seems interesting to you, then check a box on it. You can check more than one, and then give us your name and your phone number, and then we'll reach out to you, and then we'll just place these in the offering receptacles as we're leaving. We'll also make sure that the ushers are going to be available to collect these before we dismiss here today as well. But let's go through each one. Faith Kids. Oh, but go back. Faith Kids. Just stay right there. Faith Kids is where we're going to go. And just go to this. Go to the next screen whenever I ask you to, Tom, if you would, so I don't feel too rushed. I'm not going to spend too much time on them, but you can see where Faith Kids is Pastor Jessica. She's an awesome woman of God, and she loves your kids. And it's in the Faith Admin building in our in that smaller building over there. They meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. There's a lot of teaching and worship and fun that goes on. If you have a child or a grandchild that you feel like that want to be part of that, bring them. Check the box and we'll reach out to you. Faith Youth. Pastor Matt, he did a great job last Sunday, did he not? And don't you appreciate Pastor Matt? Isn't he awesome? He's such a blessing. He's on vacation this week, by the way, so he just slipped away for a little bit of R&R, so don't text him. Don't bother him. Let him enjoy his time off, okay? All right, but he does the youth service, he and Melody, every Sunday night at 5:30. That's in that blue building across the sidewalk over there. They do Youth Got Talent every first Sunday. Youth Got Talent is where they help to develop the talents and ministry skills of those young people in different ways, singing, drawing, all kinds of stuff, art, you name it. If you have a talent, we're here to help develop that and give you place for it. In fact, they just went to the Fine Arts Convention at General Council in Orlando last month. And you saw the stuff that went on there. Yeah, so, I mean, it's great. The youth are always doing something. If you got a teenager or if you got a grandchild who's a teenager, plug them in, all right? College and Career, that's College and Career is Joseph Ferreira Faith Cafe. They meet in the Faith Cafe, which is right over here. They meet on Sunday evenings at 5:30. That's tonight at 5:30. They're going to meet. He's back there raising his hands. You can see the picture there. That's for ages 18 to 29. I'm going to say that's probably a loose kind of age group, maybe. So if you're like 30, come on, it's okay. 31, come on. 32, talk to him about it. I don't know. So they dive into God's word, they navigate life's challenges, and they have a lot of fun together. If you know somebody, if that's you, or you know somebody that's an age group, 5:30 on Sunday nights, check the box, and we'll reach out to you. 25-45 Fellowship. Hey, that's Kelly and I. We meet once a month. If you're 25 to 45 years old, again, that's kind of a loose age range. Some of you kind of sneak in at 50. That's okay. I'm not judging. I'm not telling anybody. But we meet together once a month. We get together for fellowship. We do some different things. A lot of time we eat together. Children are welcome. Man, come on, bring your kids. And don't worry about a babysitter. That's all part of it. Food is usually involved. I love that part. Food is usually involved. It's always involved. We're going to eat food. You know, we break bread together, and we're going to have fun together with that. Check the box. We'll reach out to you. Sunny Side of Life. That's Phil and Linda Haynes, and they meet 55 and up. Again, if you're, 50 and you feel just ancient, join them, But if you're 55, that's fine, too. You don't have to. And these are kind of suggested age groups. They meet once a month at restaurants or other venues. You just saw the video announcements. They're going to be going to see the Noah movie, which, by the way, that Noah movie is actually a production that's up in Pennsylvania, if I remember right. It's this big playhouse that they have up there. I mean, it's a big old production. It's not just some chintzy, halfway done thing. They pull out all the stops. And so that's going to be this movie that they're going to be showing of the production. It's going to be awesome. Come be part of that. Check the box for that. We'll reach out to you. New Beginnings is a good one. New Beginnings is the next slide. That's Wanda Yarborough. Now, that's for widows and widowers. They meet Mondays at 6:30 in room 106. Room 106 is right over there in that corner. And they meet together just to encourage one another. And it's a new season in their life. And Wanda is such a great woman who loves Jesus and has also experienced this. And so she's able to minister in that direction because of it. So if you're a widow or widower, come on Monday nights at 6:30 in room 106. Check that box and we'll reach out to you. Men's Fellowship Breakfast. There's actually two different, we love to eat here, by the way. Listen to this. Men's Fellowship Breakfast. We meet the first Thursday of the month. Pastor Matt leads that one at the IHOP restaurant right there. So if you know where the church is, you know where IHOP is. You drive by it every time you come to church. And they meet at 7:30. It's a Thursday morning, first Thursday of the month. Food fellowship and devotional. Last time we had this sort of fun trivia thing and, you know, divided up into teams and kind of like Bible trivia. It's a lot of fun. But other times it's just different things that we do. And we just have fun together and eat together in fellowship. So come be part of that. All ages are welcome to that. Bring your sons, your grandsons, everybody come be part of that. And we also have another breakfast fellowship because like I said, we love to eat. Larry Deem takes that one, and that's going to be the third Saturday of the month. It's going to be in the cafe right over here, and they meet at 9 a.m. for food and fellowship and devotion. So if you can't make it on a Thursday morning because of work or whatever, make it on a Saturday morning and come be part of that at 9 o'clock. We even let you sleep in a little bit, and you know, 9 o'clock instead of 7:30. So Larry, God bless you. Thank you for taking care of that. Check the box if you want to be part of that. Women's ministry. Linda Saffron takes care of that, and that's a very successful larger group that meets in the cafe. They meet on Wednesdays at 9:30. They do Bible study. They do fellowship, other various sorts of functions throughout the year. They take a break during the summer, so they just kick back in, I think, in the last week or two. Man, come be part of that. If you're a woman, you qualify. And I'm talking about biological woman, okay? Biological woman over in there, right? All right, so sign up for that, the women's ministry. The next one is outreach ministry. That's Shekinah Ciccone. She takes care of leading that. She does a great job. They meet at the Bethel Center in Rock Hill. They meet once a month. That's coming up soon here, is it not? The next couple of weeks or so, it's in the bulletin. They feed and minister to the homeless, and they prep food and distribute physical needs, but they also, they minister the love of Jesus. So it's not just making food, and it's high-quality food, by the way. It's not just, you know, here's a hot dog. I mean, we feed them some good stuff. We pray over it. It's very prayerful, and they put together, it's not just a throwing it out there sort of ministry. They plan and they put it together, they pray together, and then they minister to the homeless people. And there's 60, 70 people, or 80 or more every month that are ministered to. And we have a great team of about 10 or 15 people that usually show up. Check the box for that. Shekinah will reach out to you if you need to know information about that. A great opportunity there. Media ministry. That is also Joseph. And so they meet on Sunday mornings at 7:30. If you are technical, see, you think, well, how is that a life together group? Because it's ministry and they're together back there. Those people, everybody in the booth, wave at me back there. See, everybody, look, that's a life together group. Back there, we got someone taking care of the slides. We got someone taking care of the lights. We got someone taking care of the audio. Someone taking care of the video. Aren't you thankful for that? But they also, Joseph administered them. He leads that group. And so if you need, if you're inclined in that way and you like to do Facebook Live and sermon audio and lights and production, you got the website, you got the digital signs, you got all that sort of stuff. If you inclined to anything that way and you want to help out, man, check that box. We need your help with that. And I know that Joseph would be thrilled and be thankful. Next one, knowing God. Knowing God, that's Kathy Baxter. Now, Kathy and Todd meet at their home, and they live kind of out Highway 5 area towards Northwestern High School. They meet every Wednesday at 7 p.m. They spend time in God's Word, prayer with each other. So you see how some of these are a little more lighthearted food and fellowship. Others are a little more drilled down into God's Word a little bit more. So you can see kind of some choices there. That's not male or female. That's not young or old. That's just whoever would want to come. Todd and Kathy Baxter do a great job with that. And they love the Lord and they know God's Word. So they'll help you to get down into studying God's Word more. It's a nice Wednesday night gathering. If you want to know more about that, check that box. The next one is Journey Through the Bible, and that's hosted by Sandy Herr. Sandy meets on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. They meet in room 107, which is the carpeted room that has the stained glass in it. That's the one right over there. It's a beautiful room. They are going from Genesis through Revelation. They're taking it one verse at a time, one section at a time, all the way through the Bible, and they're applying God's Word to our lives. Sandy is a I don't want to say it's a former minister. She's a current minister of the gospel, but she used to pastor a church in California, moved here some years ago. We're blessed to have Sandy here at this church, and she really drills into God's word in such a way where I think it'll be a very helpful time for you to grow in God's word if you want to just have an open discussion about, here's what we're going to read, now let's talk about it. Really awesome. It's like our Sunday school time at 9 o'clock, right back there in room 107. They used to meet over there. Now you meet over here, room 107. Check that box and be part of that. That's an awesome group as well. Sharing your faith discipleship. Brother Don, who led our communion this morning, they meet on the first and third Sundays at 5:30 in the Faith Admin building. That's where the children meet, but it's going to be at night, so you won't be having to, you know, work around the children singing their songs and doing children's ministry on the Sunday night. They grow in their relationship with God and sharing with others. If you have struggled at times to know how to share your faith, to witness, to just let people know who Jesus is and what he means to you, Brother Don, that's what this class is all about, to help to share your faith, to be a little more conversational, a little more open, a little more comfortable in sharing your faith. And Don is able to help you with that. And that's what this class is all about. I love that gathering. So be part of that. Check that box. Prayer group Friday night. I believe the most important thing that we do here at this church is prayer. I don't think that anything is going to happen at the church unless we have prayer. So if you're a praying person, know this, we have two opportunities for you to gather together. The first one is at Jane Willis's house at Fridays at 9:30 in the morning. Jane lives, not too far away from here, maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes from the church, not too far away. They have a time of worship and study of his word, study of God's word and prayer for more kingdom oriented issues. Jane, again, is a very seasoned, wise, godly woman who can she knows how to pray. She's a prayer, and she's a prayer warrior. And if you want to get part of a group that can really pray and grab hold of the horns of the altar, Friday mornings at 9:30 would be a great opportunity for you to check that box. If you work on Friday mornings, you can't make it. We also have Sunday mornings, and that's where Irene leads that group, Irene Sackett, and they meet at 9:15 in this room right here, just out this door. It's kind of across the hall there. You can't miss it. In room, I believe it's 105. I think that's right. Room 105. And they pray for the needs of the church and the world. 9:15, you come in there for about 45 minutes. Come in here at 10 o'clock for service. Get all prayed up and ready to go. A lot of folks are part of that. Come be part of that as well. We need you to be part of these prayer services. If you're a prayer, please consider checking one of those boxes, being part of that. We'll reach out to you. The next one is Meals Ministry. Meals Ministry, I tell you what, Scarlett, when God made Scarlett, God broke the mold. Scarlett, you're one of a kind. Scarlett Horton is an awesome personality, and she loves Jesus. And she does a great job in making all of the different, well, first off, she leads the Sunday morning breakfast ministry. So if you want to get here early and you want to hang out in there and grab a donut and some coffee, do it. But also, if you want to help out, maybe once or twice a month, she loves to put together a team. You can help come, you know, early in the morning. I think they get here about, what time do you get here, Scarlett? About 8:30? About 8:30. And you make some coffee and kind of make sure it's all put together and everything's how it needs to be, the creamers and the, you know, everything's in place. And just minister to the people as they come and grab their goodies. And also, it's not just the Sunday mornings, but also we do other things throughout the year, some events and stuff that she's going to help out with, that she helps out with. And we could, if you love to cook, if you love to serve, if you're, you know, if that's your inclination, a meals ministry, and not just there, but also if you want to help out with meals for folks that maybe might need a meal if there's something going on in their life, like a death in the family or, you know, things like that, and we put together a meal and you want to be part of that, I mean, give us, check the box and we'll reach out to you and say, hey, you know, that's more of like an on-call as needed thing. I don't want to make a meal every week because we have a death every week. God help us, right? But on those times where we need it, it's good to have some people step in and say, you know, I'll make some mashed potatoes. I'll provide the chicken or whatever it would be. So, but see, check the box, and Scarlett would love to have your help with that. And she's just a lot of fun and loves Jesus on top of that. So worship ministry. Tim and Amber are doing such a great job. I'm so thankful for them. And they meet here on Sunday mornings at 8:30. You see these musicians and singers up here every Sunday. If you can play, if you can sing, the slots are not all filled up here. And so all you got to do is just check the box and say, hey, man, I can play, I can sing, or I got a dance ministry, I love to dance, or whatever it would be, worship. Worship is more than just singing and playing. It's dancing. It's drama. It's tomorrow night. I mean, anything that we can do outside of, you know, the kind of the structure of singing and playing, that anything to do with worship like that. There's dancing before the Lord. Hey, we got that thing coming up, by the way. You saw that in the video announcements, but the Feast of Tabernacles coming up on October the 5th. We have it every year. If you want to be part of that, see Teresa and the rest of them. The information's in the bulletin. And that's some rehearsals that are going to be taking place between now and, that's a month from now, they're going to be having the Feast of Tabernacles. So anyway, see, check the box for Tim and Amber. They'll get you... try it out. I think some of those things are probably a little more, we got to try it out. I'm saying, yeah, my mama says I can sing. That's not going to qualify, all right? We need to, I've heard that so many times in my life. Well, good for your mama. Go sing for your mama. But, you know, but we got to make sure that they can at least carry a tune and a bucket. We don't provide the buckets. So there's that. All right, so check that box. Meet and greet team. Meet and greet team. Shane and Cindy Pike do an awesome job. Would you give them a hand? They are just so faithful. Honestly. I tell you what, they've been faithful founding members of this church, and they're here every Sunday. I never have to worry about them, and they are faithfully loving on you guys and building a good team of handing out the bulletin and how you doing. If you got a friendly, smiley face and you can hand out a bulletin, then, man, you qualify. And if you've got a sourpuss face, do not sign up, okay? Do not. I don't want the first impression to be, you know. It doesn't be happy. You gotta be outgoing, okay? But anyway, meet and greet team. We need you to, with the ushers and the different things like that, but also as people are coming in, just to be a smiling face and a handshake and a hug. Here's the bulletin. God bless you. Glad you're here. If that's you, come on. And you don't have to be here every Sunday. We'll just build a team and rotate it out. See, Shane and Cindy, check the box on that one. The building, grounds, and ministry. Building and grounds ministry, I should say. If you don't do any of these things, but you like to cut grass or pull weeds, I love to pull weeds. Now, if you like to do yard work, if you're handy with a hammer, if you are handy with a paintbrush, if you have any inclinations as far as plumbing and electrical, you have anything like that, you want to help with the physical grounds of the church to keep this building and this grounds kept up. This doesn't just happen, you know, automatically. It takes some work. The building's getting older. The ground always needs attention. So if that's you and you want to be part of that, Lorenzo is over that, and he would love to have you be part of that team and rotate it out, you know, cut the grass once a month, or, you know, if something needs to be repaired, we can give you a call and say, hey, can you fix this leaky valve or whatever it would be. That would be very helpful. Now, there's one more category. It's called other. If you see, imagine yourself here. So here, you may go through this whole list and say, well, there's nothing in here that resonates with me. Okay, then what does? What does the Lord put in your heart? I've been preaching about this for the last several weeks. Finding your lane that God has established for you. And if it's through a Life Together group and you want to lead or you want to do something that is not on this list, but man, it's in your heart to do, that's you in that picture. And we'll establish the date and the time. Well, the location, and we're going to have an epic byline to grab the attention of people who are like-minded and cool, just like you. So if that's you, put your name there and write, you know, whatever it would be, and we'll make that happen too. We'll talk to you about it, okay? Pretty good stuff. We got a lot of good stuff going on here at this church. More than just a Sunday morning every once in a while. Come every Sunday morning, but also get plugged in to these Life Together groups. And let's grow. Let us grow in him. Let us fill out this card. Let us put our name and phone number on here. And let us now pray over this list as we close out today. Would you stand with me? I hope that you filled this out. Now, if you're already part of one, that's fine. Check the box, fill it out, and you're just re-upping. And I'm not asking you for, you know, lifetime commitment here. I'm just asking you to press in to a deeper place in him as we gather on Sunday mornings, but also throughout the week at different times in different places to grow in our relationship with him. Father, as we hold these forms in our hand that we've looked at, we saw the different options that are there for us to plug into these Life Together groups. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would, as you've spoken to our hearts, help us to check those little boxes and put our name and phone number on there and hand these in and commit to being part of it, or at least getting more information about it so that we can consider if that's something that we really want to be part of, that you want us to be part of. Lord, as we check these boxes, I know we're not committing to doing it. We're committing to having the person reach out to us to tell us more about it. Let us take that step today, because I pray, and I know that your heart is that we need to do life together. Let us grow in relationship. Let us love God together. Let us spur one another on. Let us encourage one another. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're not guaranteed another day, but Lord, in the days that we have left, the weeks, the months until you return, let us grow to not only be more like you, but let us then make a difference as we grow to those around us. Lord, let it be more than just a Sunday morning gathering once in a while for us, but let us move into a place of deep and abiding relationship with you and with the body of Christ, with one another, doing that community together, doing life together in you, so that others can see it. It would be highly attractive, and that the church would then be added to daily those who are being saved. That's our goal. We want to be that Acts chapter 2 church for this generation in this community. Thank you, Lord, for each Life Together group leader. Bless them. Anoint them. Give them strength. Give them vision. And Lord, those that maybe want to start one up, I pray you bless that as well. And help us, Father God, to roll up our sleeves and to not put this off anymore, to do today what we've been putting off doing for far too long. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have to do this and for the leaders that are willing to step in and dedicate themselves to this. Bless them, bless us, and help us to be a blessing to this community as we continue to be faithful to what you've called us to do. Go with us now, we pray, and help us to, as we've had church, to go and be the church. We thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Join us next week as we continue to learn from God's Word and apply it to our lives.